welcome along to this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by The Racing Post and sponsored by Unibet. And what a treat we've got for you. No less than 9 races to cover on ITV this week and a bonanza of racing, including Group 1 action in the Spring Cup. And also a bit of racing for everyone with Jump's favourite star, Turn Flat, Golden Boy, potentially Constitution Hill, back in action at Kempton. I'm Matt Rennie in the host seat for the very first time, and joining me today is an excellent panel taking you through the Saturday's action. We've got Johnny Pearson and Graham Robbo from The Racing Post, and of course from Unibet, Mr. Ed Nicholson. And well, what a weekend it was for our tipsters on last week's postcast. Started with you, Johnny. You had quite a good day, didn't you, at on Solario Stakes and Celebration Mile Day?
Yeah, I mean, Alfred Wallace was quite nice to me. Said it was about the race on day. Everyone sort of was tipping Breacher, and if they ran again, I'd probably fancy Breacher to overturn the form. But it was about the race on the day. Alfred Wallace got given a great ride, I thought, from the front, and he wasn't passing. So that was very enjoyable. And there were quite a few winners from all of us on the show last week, which was good.
Absolutely. So joining the party that weekend was also Ed. Ed, obviously, he had a couple of wins, but also the Knapp went in. Zavateri, he was brilliant in Goodwood Celebration Mile. It looks like it's going to be one more race for him on British Champions Day, then off to stud. Do you think he's up to winning the QE2? Obviously, we've seen so many shocks in the Miles division recently. No Boecco, but of course he went in at Goodwood, and he could take the division by storm in the autumn.
Well, I think the positives for him is that he hasn't had a busy season. By the time that Champions Day is run, a lot of horses have been running through the summer and they leave their form behind. So Zavateri is going to come into it as a fresh horse. And we know from running at Goodwood, the soft ground won't stop him. Really soft ground might. But yeah, I think he's got a really good chance if he goes there. So I'll be interested in who he takes on. But he'll be the horse I'm looking at framing the race around as to have a bet. So yeah, looking forward to that.
Indeed, indeed. And Graham Rodway, your top class colleague Harry Wilson also got in the act with 2 winners. How confident are you can follow in his act this week?
It's always very difficult to follow in Harry's footsteps, Matt, as you can imagine. Boy tips loads of winners. But I'm going to try my best for you and the viewers, Matt. Your first show, isn't it, in the hot seat? So I've got to give you some winners. Get
very much, very much so. Yeah, very much so. I'm usually in the easier area of being a pundit and hopefully tipping up plenty of winners for our wonderful listeners and viewers. But yeah, different one for me this week. But thankfully, the heat wave looks to be over, but hopefully our tipsters can still be red hot. Thought I'd get my cheesy pun line in there nice and early while in the hot seat. We'll get on with the racing, we'll get on the action in just a minute, but do make sure to hit the subscribe button below. It is free to do, and you get access to all the other brilliant content from The Racing Post. Just last week, brilliant stuff from National Racehorse Week and all of our other best shows heading into a busy, busy autumn. But with 9 races to go, we might have to kick off and go straight away. We're going to Ascot first, obviously playing third fiddle on quite a top class day of action. They're not usually in that place, but we've got a nice 7 furlong handicap to kick us off with at 140. Thunder Call is the red hot favourite for William Haggis and Kieran Fallon, 11-8, an impressive winner at York earlier in the season. 2 Tribes for the Rebel Racing Connections is the 11-2 chance, as is Ghost Mode. Addison Gray 6-1, Northern Express a lovely handicapper in the north of Michael Dodds is 9-1 chance, and it's 16-1 bar those. Ed, I'll come back to you straight. Well, coming to you first, we've got a little special offer to kick things off with as well.
Yeah, I mean, this race at Ascot is our money back second or third race, so it's our flagship offer, as it were. If you back a horse, it comes second or third, you'll get your money back, and it's quite an interesting race to do that on. Thunder Call looks head and shoulders above the others on what he's shown so far. Returns to 7 furlongs, which looked like what he needed at Ascot behind Red Spell's Danger, a horse he had previously beaten at York. Ran on that day as if 7 furlongs would be suited. And yeah, I can't see past Thunder Call here. I think William Haggis is going to have a very good day on Saturday, and I think he'll kick off with Thunder Call. Interesting that Sweps are sponsoring this race. Haven't seen Sweps as a type of sponsor for a long time, but we know that they used to be big sponsors on a day when we used to sponsor the September Stakes and the Sprint Cup. So it's big day for sponsors. Good luck to them, and good luck to anyone that backs Thunder Call.
Absolutely. So a big day, particularly for William Haggis. Had a good August last month with Maltese Cross winning at the Ebor Festival. Graham, we'll go to you next. Thunder Call, do you think he's just a good thing in this contest?
I think he's definitely the one to beat, Matt. I made it between him and Two Tribes, but at the prices, much prefer Two Tribes. I think he's been steadily returning to form, and last time out, he caught my, given quite a little quiet ride by Dylan Brown McMonagall in the Shergar Cup race there. But he finished off the race really well. Maybe they just were a little bit worried about him staying a mile, which he was unproven over going into the race. But he really did finish off quite nicely. The form is okay. I think the runner-up was second behind the Lion King or something like that it's called. That's running at Haydock. The fourth was EBT's Guard, who I backed against Zavateri each way on them. Saturday, I thought he could run well in that celebration mile, and he did. He was only beaten less than five lengths in fourth, so the form's okay. And Two Tribes going back down to 7 furlongs here at Ascot. I think he's his absolute optimum course and distance. He was very good here when he won one of the big handicaps over course and distance last year, I think it was, or the year before, it was one of those two. And he acts on any ground, so if it does get soft there, I think he'll be suited by it. So I think Thundercall's the one to beat, but I think the big value bet in the race is Two Tribes, Matt.
Indeed, Two Tribes going to war against Thundercall there. One for you, Frank, goes to Hollywood Aficionados. I think I'm correct, Ed, our music expert. I think I'm right on that one.
Yeah, you are. One of my favourite songs, the Carnage mix. That was the best mix.
There we go. And Johnny, wrap up the 140 at Ascot for you. We've got one vote for Thundercall, one vote for Two Tribes. Are you with them, or do you have another selection in the race?
I've got another selection. I thought Thundercall looked far too short a price on what he's done. He finished the race nicely last time, and there is obviously potential there. But he's not been a world beater to date, and 7-4 looks far too short a price about a competitive contest. I mean, Addison Gray's won last time, and looks to be in good form himself. But I'm going to go with an outsider here. And Ismael Mohamed and Jose Santos finally got a winner in the week after, I think it was 44 runs without one since they started their training partnership. And I think Lord Britton is better than what we've been seeing. I think he won well in a handicap at Kempton earlier in the year, which was a good performance. And then they tried him in the Group 1 at Ascot, where he was 100-1, beaten by Bo Echo by 6 and a bit lengths, which isn't a bad piece of form. They disappointed at Goodwood, but again, it was a big price. They have ruined his mark a bit by going to the race at Royal Ascot, and he's gone from mark of 88 up to, well, off 98 now. But if he can replicate that Ascot form, it wasn't a bad run. It was a proper race, and I think it's the best piece of form on offer from all the horses. And I think 33-1 is massively underestimating his chances here.
Big call there from Johnny Pearce with this selection. Lord Britton, which didn't read out earlier on, he's 22-1 with Unibet. For wrapping up our first race, Ed is with Thundercall, Gerard with Two Tribes, and Johnny giving us a big shout for Lord Britton at a big price. The other race on ITV at Ascot is the 1 mile 4 furlong Heritage Handicap for the 3-year-olds, and there's also another red-hot favourite in this race in the form of Heyzoom. Now, he's the 6-5 favourite with Unibet. Archer's Bay 5-1, Ancestor is 6s, 7's Decade of Time, Into the Light is a 12-1 shot for Toby Moore and Charlie Appleby, Guildmaster and Cape Fear 14s, and it's 18s bar. Ed, I believe we have another nice offer from Unibet in this race at Ascot as well. Top price every runner?
Yeah, that's right. Top price every runner from 11 a.m. I think it is, but do check the website for details. I mean, one thing we should have said at the top of the programme, it's going to be quite a difficult day for punters in terms of knowing what the weather's going to be like if you're betting before. We're doing this at Thursday, and I've been looking at the weather maps. There seems to be no rain at Ascot, real rain, from now until Saturday. That's different from Haydock when we get onto Haydock. But so I was looking for horses that had kind of, you know, shown good ground form and shown good form. And Heyzoom was that horse. Interestingly, been gelded in July. We haven't seen him since then. And that was following a really good fourth in the King George, the fifth handicap at Royal Ascot. Always a good race. Put up £5 for coming fourth that day, which isn't unusual because the horses that run there are basically improving three-year-olds. And if you finish in the first five or six, you're almost certain to improve throughout the course of the year. And in fact, the winner won a Group 3 next time out. So I'm interested in horses that win a handicap and then go in Group 3. I'll talk about that later on. But so Hey Zoom's got the form in the book. I thought Ran Green. That was only his fourth run, was it, I think? He looked a bit smaller as well than a lot of the horses. I looked at the replay a couple of times and seemed to get in the kind of hustle and bustle of the race until he got out of that. He didn't look likely to finish in the four, I didn't think. And Safi Osborne rode him that day. I think he'll certainly come on. No one knows, apart from connections, how the gelding operation will make the horse, but it's got to be a positive, I think, from my look on it, because he looked as if he was a bit coltish before and set his mind on the job. 6-4 is probably a little bit short, but Hazum looked the most likely winner for me. And yeah, I'm going to select him in what doesn't look a deep race, I didn't think. So Hazum is the selection.
Hey Zoom for Ed, who could have ramifications on the four lines for next weekend. St Ledger, of course, with Enceladus entered up in Britain's final classic of the season. Johnny, is it as simple as Hey Zoom is the best form in the race and wins this?
I don't think so. I think there's, again, it looks a tricky race. I thought this looked very tricky. I think he's got a lot of potential. He ran well at Ascot. I think it's interesting that Guildmaster, who finished further back in field that day, has now been gelded for Gosden Stable, and whether that brings improvement, I don't know. Archer's Bay is obviously been in good form, a good winner at Ascot last time, and that's not to be over the trip, so that's good. But I think Decade of Time, again, he's been running well. I think the extra 2 furlongs will suit, and I think he's got a good chance of being in the frame, and I think I'd be backing him each way, but it wouldn't be a strong selection. But I think Decade of Time for Jack Shannon's the one I've landed on here. He's been, again, been running well, and I think there's still more to come, but whether he'll be good enough on the day, I'm not 100% sure, but a small play each way is what I'm going to do there.
Good stuff, Johnny. And Graham, we'll come back to you then. Obviously, Archer's Bay, a course and distance winner. Do you think that could be key to seeing him try and beat the red hot favourite?
Yeah, I do fancy Archer's Bay, Matt. He won the big one last time, of course, the Shergar Cup Classic, the one that everyone wants to win. And he was very, very strong at the finish that day on his first start beyond the mile and 3 furlongs. When he won at Newmarket earlier in the year, I was there, and I thought he was a group horse that day, and I still think that he's got that potential. Marco Botti must have thought so, because he ran him in the Italian Derby when he was very disappointed, but that was on heavy ground. Ed's already said that the ground potentially at Ascot might not be as bad as it could be at Haydock. That will suit Archer's Bay. He probably will need to be the group horse that I think he is to beat Hey Zoom. But again, I saw this race very similar to the first one, with the short price favourite and the one at the bigger price. I didn't think there was that much between Hey Zoom and Archer's Bay. So at the prices, I've got to back Archer's Bay. But I do respect Hey Zoom's chance too.
Yeah, good stuff. Just checking as of Thursday afternoon, the ground is currently described as good to firm in places at Ascot, and their forecast is a possible occasional shower on Friday, but that's it. It seems like the dry weather is staying round just to the west of London. But in the Big Heritage Handicap at Ascot, it was Archer's Bay for Graham Rodway, Ed Nicholson with Hey Zoom. And Johnny, just remind me who you were with again?
It was Decade of Time for the Jack Shannon Stable.
Decade of Time for Jack Shannon. We'll go from just west of London and Windsor all the way up to Merseyside for the next 5 races on Haydock's big flat race card of the year. Great to see them back after their turf troubles in the summer. And just before we do so, obviously Thursday afternoon, we're recording this, the ground before they get underway for their big meet of the year is soft, good to soft in places. However, on Thursday night, there is a possible 10 mils plus of rain, which could be heavy into Friday morning. Then it looks dry, so it could be key to the going there. As we know at Haydock, it can also get a little bit testing at times. Maybe we're used to it in the depths of winter usually. But we kick off with a Group 3 straight away, the 125 at Haydock. It's the Betfair Baxapian Superior Miles Stakes. And it looks quite competitive, if not the greatest of quality of Group 3s we've had before. It's 11-4 needle match for William Haggis and Tom Marcon. 3s for Dancing Gemini, always threatened to win a big one, but yet to deliver on that so far. 4s for the lovable performer Persica. Hanko ran so well in the French 2000 guineas early in the year. 11-2, the Lost King, part of Andrew Bourne's brilliant Ewell Festival. 7-1, 17-2, Colliery Forever. 16s, Fondo Blanco. 22s, Redemption Road. And 33-1, Balmacaro. Graham, come to you first. not an obvious sort of star in this one, but is who's taking your eye out of the field?
I think it's a really interesting race, Matt, because you've got some still up-and-comers in types of like Needle Match and Hankalo, and racing against obviously proven performers like Dancing Gemini, Persica, the Lost King, as he's called, not the Lion King, but I might call him the Lion King just for fun. I think it's worth giving Hankalo another chance, Matt, because he was third in the French 2000 Guineas. He's been disappointing twice since in the French Derby and then last time at York, although he definitely didn't stay the distance last time at York. He was sent for home, a long way from home, by Clifford Lee, and I just thought he had no chance of getting home. He's going back down to a mile here. We know he handles soft conditions because he did so when he was third in France. And I think that if he gets a bit more of a conservative ride this time, he's capable of a lot better than he showed last time at York. That run at York last time is not as bad as it looks on paper. Go back and watch it. And like he was bang there, three furlongs to two furlongs out. It was only after that he completely capitulated. I think if he does get his own way here, or he's up there nicely positioned, don't go too soon, I think he'll run a massive race here, Hankalo.
Hankalo for Graham Rodway. Johnny, can you see the three-year-olds putting up to their older rivals in this one, or is there anyone else you fancy?
I think, you know, as Graham said, you've got the up-and-comers against the likes of Dancing Gemini, and, you know, Calori Forever for Marco Botti's been in good form, but I think got a little bit to find. The Lost King won his last two, but again, needs to step up again if he's going to be winning this. Hankalo, I don't. The last two runs, I've had this run sort of disappointed me twice in a row, put me off. It's not. If it just happened once, I'd be happier to draw a line for it. But it makes me think, oh, is there something not quite right with him on those days? And is that going to come to the fore? Yeah, Needle Match only run four times, and it was a very good second at Leopardstown most recently. But I've always been a fan of Dancing Gemini, and this is a drop in quality of race of what he's been competing in, and I'd be a bit disappointed if he wasn't good enough to beat the rest of these, unless one of the young ones improves a stack. I think he's very much the one to beat, and I'm going to have to be with him.
Dancing Gemini for Johnny, of course, multiple group one placed. He was last of five behind none other than Item last time in the York Stakes, and we all know what Item went and did in the Judmont International. Ed, wrap up the Superior Mile for us, of course. I think there's a nice offer again from Unibet in this race. 3 out of 3 so far.
Yeah, super boost this race, and I found it really interesting to analyse. We've got two group three events on the ITV card, so I kind of did a bit of stat on group three races, and this is a really competitive group three race. The average winning kind of BHA handicap mark going into a group three race is normally around about 109 to 111. If you're 3-year-old, it's about 107. I mean, Simple Verse won one off 88, I think, but obviously within weeks won the St. Ledger, so that was obviously not her real handicap mark. So you're looking at this race and they all fit into that kind of area, but I can't have Dancing Gemini. I love horses that do take a drop in class, like we had Kapoor, who did it, and Zavaretti did it recently. But they have both shown good form going into that drop in class. Dancing Gemini has only been regressing, in my opinion. So I did look at Dancing Gemini because of that reason. But I can't be having Dancing Gemini. Needle Match, I wanted to go with. I think he's probably he's probably more likely to improve than a lot of these from his. He's got a BHA. I know it's not a handicap. His BHA rating is 107, which actually is dead on what, you know, you need to be going into a race if you're a 3-year-old or in a 3-year-old group three. And I thought he ran really well last time in Ireland, wasn't it? When he ran on, he'd probably be better over 10 furlongs. He still ran green for me. I still think he's got a lot to learn. He was the horse that came in for a lot of market support in the 2000 Guineas, you might remember. Like 2 days before, he was a springer in the market. And then obviously something went wrong that day. He finished second last and then came out and ran on really well in Ireland. But the ground, I think the ground's going to go soft. I really do. You mentioned what the ground conditions are today and going forward into Friday. Saturday morning, they're going to have more rain. So I think I would be a bit worried about horses that haven't shown any form in soft ground. The one horse that has shown a bit of form in soft ground is my selection, the Lost King. He won the Heritage Handicap at York last time out on good to soft. And he showed that he goes off a very fast pace. He can lead. He did really well that day. And he's now up to a rating of 109, isn't he? I look back at kind of horses that ran in handicaps in their last run before going into grade threes. This century, 136 winners from 975. But we've seen quite a few this year. Archivist did it. He won the Golden Mile, then won the Strensdale Stakes. Enchilado, we talked about. King George, handicap winner, then won the Gordon Stakes. And there been a couple more as well. So, you can do it, especially with horses that are showing improved form. And I think the Lost King is really big. I've seen he's been cut 4 points since I've been talking, but he's now 8-1. And I think he's got a really good chance. I think he's an improving horse. He meets a lot of the criteria you need. You know that he'll go in good to soft at the very least, and a lot of these won't. And I think he'll be okay leading, or he'll be going after a fast pace. He's equally going to show his form. There are lots of horses here with a chance in the race if they had their conditions, but I don't think a lot of them will have their conditions. And I think the Lost King will. And I love having a horse that's improving from a big stable who would have had probably one or two other options here, and they've gone with the Lost King. So, yeah, the Lost King's going to be quite a kind of positive selection for me in this race.
Good stuff. Yeah, the Lost King, of course, stormed home in quite miserable conditions on Yorkshire Oaks Day in a race named in honour of the legendary Sir Kevin Sinfield for his 7-7 challenge he's doing this month. So the Lost King for Ed, for Johnny, staying loyal with Dancing Gemini, and Hank Lowe for Graham Odway, who I'm siding with in this one as well. I gave him up as my horse to follow last year, so I've got to stay loyal to him. Great run in the French 2000 Guineas in very soft conditions. It was absolutely tipping it down at Longchamp that day. And Rafe, of course, has won the Prix Jacques Le Marois since in Beau Echo's absence. And of course, Beau Echo was the place he really burst onto the scene in the next race we are going to preview at Haydock. The Ascendant Stakes, the 155 at Haydock, won a absolutely, fair to say, terrific renewal of the race last year. Behind him that day, published, we haven't seen, but Cheyenne's won the Group 3 Thoroughbred Stakes at Glorious Goodwood, and Glacius went on to win Grade 1 in Saratoga this summer. So maybe we can see who the next big classic potential is in this race. But obviously, Ed Nixon and Jet Graham Rodway, no opinion for both of you in this race. I'll go to Johnny Pearson. Johnny, we've got First Law is Evens, Rocket Boy 50-8, Race to Man, a Goodwood winner 6s, Arthurian 9, 20s Romanza, and 50s The Heat is On. Simply, is there the 2000 Guineas winner for next year in this race?
I think that might be a bit of a stretch, but...
Yeah, it's probably a one-off last year.
The difficulty here is what the ground's going to be and how they handle the ground, because you look at the head of the market, good to firm, good to firm, good to firm, good to firm. They've all been running on good to firm ground. The only one with soft ground form of any description is the outside of the field, and the Heat is On is going to have to improve an awful lot to be competing here, so I wouldn't be back in. And I think First Law is far too short a price on his Sandown win, which was not bad. It was a good win, but it wasn't, I don't think it was the best race that he won for sort of the type of contest it was. And I'm a lot more interested in Rocket Boy for Marco Botti. I thought his third place last time behind Quest for Stars was actually a really good piece of form. The first three pulled clear of a Hugo Palmer horse called Velociraptor, who's had three runs, been rock solid in all of them. The second place horse beat Tall Trees, who won at Sandown last weekend at Newmarket on the run before that race at Salisbury. The winner is 3 from 3. It looks the best piece of form in there. I think, based on the pedigree, I think he should handle soft conditions. And I think if he, provided the ground isn't an issue, I think he looks the one to beat. And the fact that he's sort of 15-8 in the First Law's near enough even money, I think it's a great price about him.
Great price there for Rocket Boy, for Johnny Pearson. This is Rocket Boy 65,000 guineas purchase, whereas First Law just costs the cool 1 million guineas. Just double check, Ed and G-Rod, no late minute opinion for you in this race, or happy to move on?
No,
although I do think that First Law is exciting, awesome, Matt. You know, I mean, Charlie Appleby's got a 40% strike rate at Haydock. He doesn't take like these useless ones up there, put it that way. And First Law was really, really impressive first time up. Overcome a really poor run through the race, I thought, was quite keen off a steady pace and picked up really well. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of like who's the most exciting horse in the race for me, then, yeah, First Lord by far, but yeah, I wouldn't back it at the price.
First Lord, one to keep an eye on, then, but not on this occasion for G-Rod. Might be Charlie Appleby's Star Juvenile during a slightly topsy-turvy season. He might think he could be a really exciting one for the autumn months. We're going to the 2:30 then at Haydock. It's the best odds on the Betfair Exchange Handicap. A mile and six furlong for the three-year-olds. Head in the market, 85 to 40. Galilean Quality for Clifford Lee and Carl Burke. It's 5-2 Mythical Bay. 5's Reem Rack. Asia Force is 13-2 chance. 11-1's Lopeo. Pierre Gross, 12s. 16's Bridge of Eagles and Cotton Bud, 33-1. Ed, I'll come to you on this one. Obviously, a bit of sort of an After the Lord's Mayor show with the Melrose, obviously taking place at York 2 weeks ago. But anyone, any progressive three-year-old taking your eye in this contest?
Well, I think Galilean Quality's still got potential to improve, especially over this trip. He's had a couple of runs over this trip. He's done well on both occasions. Certainly the last time, you wouldn't have given him a bat in hell's hope of coming in the first three from where he was with two furlongs to go. I think I saw him pass at 10 horses inside the last furlong and a half to get second to what does look like a real improving three-year-old in Infrared. So that was a good performance. He does need shivering along and he does come with a wet sail. But I can still see improving. He was rated 91 on that occasion in Melrose, the three-year-old's Ebor, as it's sometimes known. And I think he also has won a race on soft ground, I think, which made me sit up and take notice. Yeah, he won at Pontefract on soft ground over 10 furlongs, his novice. And he also came second at York on good to soft ground. And I'm basing these selections at Haydock that there will be more rain. So Galilean Quality, the way he runs the ground, the way the track runs at Haydock, you can come from behind on soft ground at Haydock. And I just thought Galilean Quality, probably not a quality price, but maybe hopefully a quality selection.
Indeed, yeah, Infrared could be a real top-notcher for William Haggis. Not going for the St. Ledger, but going for a listed race at Ascot in the autumn instead. But could be one to real start quality in the staying division next season. No opinion for this race in this race for Johnny, but G-Rod, any small opinion or happy to move on to the next?
I found this quite confusing because I, like Ed, did fancy Galilean Quality. In the back of my mind, I know it was his debut, but he was quite disappointing in first time up at Haydock. I don't like it when like your horse's favourite and it's got a poor run at the track already on the record, if you know what I mean. Now, I know there's going to be excuses because he maybe needed the run and so on, but it just hits me in the back of my mind. And then I thought, well, what about Carl Burke's other runner? And I thought, well, why is Clifford Lee, who rode it the last two times, riding Galilean Quality, and then I'm like, oh, well, William Buick's riding Asia Force, so maybe that's a positive or a negative, I don't know. As you can see, like, I went round and round in circles on the race and didn't really come down on a conclusion, but I will have to tip something because I'll be rating this race for Racing Post ratings this week, so we shall see what I come up with. Reem Rack was the one who caught my eye last time at Newmarket. It was a real bunch finish, and I thought he was a bit better than the bare form that day. And again, Roger Varian's got quite a good record when he sends horses up to Haydock, and he's very good in these sorts of staying races in general, particularly for three-year-olds. So it may be that ends up where the pin drops. But as you can tell, a little bit all over the place with the race.
Yeah, the magic roundabout for you at the moment. But then strong with Galilean Quality there for Carl Burke. No opinion in this race for Johnny. So we'll quickly move on to the next race, the 3:05, another race over a mile and six at Haydock. It's the Old Borough Cup. It's for the older horses, even though three-year-olds are allowed to be in this contest as well, but none of them this year. Head of the market, very unexposed in his first start in handicap company. A G imprinter, William Buick and Charlie Appleby, 5-2. 4's for Finalise, 7's Stress Free, 8's Mountain Road for the Mulrennan and Jim Goldie combination. Hermetic, it's 10s, 12s for Ashnak, Polestar and Glen to Glen. And it's 14-1 bigger the rest. Johnny, we'll come to you on this one. A really deep running of the Old Borough Cup. I can't get my head around it. What about yourself?
It definitely looks tricky, and you've got the Gian Prince in there, but he hasn't run for 320 days, which is naturally a concern. Based on what we saw when he last ran at Dover at the end of the year, the ground's probably not going to be an issue should it come up soft. But I prefer the William Haggas trained finaliser here, who also hadn't been seen since September, raced at Hopgarten in a listed contest most recently in the second week of August. And that was a pretty encouraging reappearance from her. She kept on well late, and it left the impression that there was plenty more to come from her still. And I think, provided she takes that step forward that looks likely based on that, on that reappearance, I think there's a lot of upside to her, and I think she should run very well here.
Finalised for Johnny then to hopefully give William Haggas a big winner at another destination on Saturday. Ed, finalised, said you saying William Haggas was going to have a good day earlier on in the postcast. Is this horse going to make it even better?
Well, I think she's obviously got a great chance here and would definitely be on the short list. But I'm going to go for one at a big price for two reasons. Three reasons, actually. First of all, it's got form in soft ground. Secondly, it likes Haydock. And thirdly, it's wearing cheek pieces for the first time. In fact, I'm going to add a fourth. It's dropping down the handicap and might be on a nice mark. Horse number 10, Polestar. Has run well at Haydock before. He's won a race, I think. He's won two races, actually, at Haydock. And came running on fourth or fifth when hampered last time at the course. He's won from two on soft ground. And his rating has come down. I think he was rating from 1991. He's down to kind of 83 now. And he's had excuses, I think, maybe in the last couple of runs, certainly. Over too long a distance, maybe. I think a fast run race over this sort of trip is exactly what he wants. He's a big... When you watch him on TV, you want to press a button to make him go quicker. He just looks like he takes ages to get anywhere and then runs on. So that's why Haydock, with that uphill climb and steady uphill climb, and the soft ground, might just come into his reckoning here. I think he's got a good chance. He won off 87 in only 12 months ago, so he's not like he's plummeting out of form. And I just think also he's got a good chance with the jockey on board, Hector Crouch. There's a really nice piece in the Racing Post website about jockeys and do they make a difference. And I read that with interest this morning. And Hector Crouch, I think, is riding as well as he ever has done. And, you know, that ride on Coppel, I thought, was top class. And he takes the mount for the first time on Polestar. And at 14-1, wearing cheek pieces the first time, goes on soft, goes on heavy. Just thought he was worth an each way play, especially when we're going extra place.
Good stuff. Thanks for getting that in there. At extra place in this race, and Polestar for Ed, who's been kept busy by Charlie Johnston this season so far, including against some rivals in here, Mountain Road and Dancing in Paris. G, I'll come to you for your final selection. Who have you got in this?
I saw the race a bit similar to Ed. I mean, if this Polestar wins, I'm going to kick myself, you know, because I've tipped this for the last four times that it's run, and I don't think I'm going to tip it this time. And it did run better last time out, Pontefract. The reason I keep tipping it is really well handicapped on its best form. Like, when it finished third behind Goblet of Fire and Align the Stars at Newmarket, you know, if it can reproduce that sort of level, it would go really close. This is £6 lower here. And let's not forget, Align the Stars won the plate, didn't it? The Northumberland plate. And Goblet of Fire came out and was beaten a short head the other day by Arcuva. I don't know how it got beat that day. He's travelled like the wind. But nevertheless, you know, I'm giving up on Polestar because I've fed up losing money on him, which will probably mean that this is the day that it comes good. I'm going to back a similar sort of horse, though. Dancing in Paris, who did come good last time out in the Shergar Cup Stayers, which is another massive race. Obviously, we love the Shergar Cup, don't we? Under Luke Ferrari, really, really did zoom home that day. And perfect run through the race up the inside. But one thing I know about Dancing in Paris, having handicapped him for the last three or four years throughout his career, is that when he hits form, he holds his form really well. If you go back through his profile, he usually follows a win with a good run, and he tends to string three or four good runs together. So he's quite a reliable horse when he finds his form, and he has found his form now for the first time this season. He goes on soft ground. He's a course winner. He was third in this race 2 years ago. He ran in it last year. He was well beaten. But now that he's hit form, I think Dancing in Paris will run really well. I'm not saying he's going to win, because there are some dangerous lurkers, aren't there? Finalize and Aegean Prince. I mean, they could just blow the race apart. But if they don't blow the race apart, then Dancing in Paris will definitely be there to pick up the pieces. I think he's an each way bet to nothing.
Dancing in Paris for Graham Rodway. Polestar for Ed, and Johnny is with Finalize. I'm sure Ed will be thrilled that form from Deauville and Hoppergarten and all over Europe is being brought to Merseyside in this race. As for me, no opinion, but I won't be back in Dancing in Paris until the Shergar Cup stays next year. Have tipped him up on the postcast last month. One final race at Haydock before we move on to Kempton, and it's the big one. It's the Betfair Sprint Cup, Route 1 over 6 furlongs, and we have got another pretty open contest, to say the least. Who's going to step up and be the sprint king over the 6 furlong distance? We just simply don't know. It just seems to be going on and on and on that someone else wins a different race. But it's wide open once again. 5-2 about the Queen Elizabeth II Jubilee Stakes winner Almirac for Tom Marcon and William Haggas. 4s for Kind of Blue, winner of the Champion Sprint a couple of years ago. 9-2 for Copple, Hetch Crouch and Clive Cox. 5s Marvelman, a really good run at York in the City of York last time out. 8s for last year's winner, Big Mojo. 70-2 for Paberus. 12s American Affair, also a Group 1 winner. 25s James's Delight, and 28-1 outsider of the 9 is Aram Ram. Graham, we'll come to you first. It's been a merry-go-round again in the sprinting division this year, especially over 6 furlongs. Are we going to see another shock, or is someone finally going to stamp their authority in this division?
Well, I think they're all going to take their turns, aren't they? There isn't a standout sprinter in Britain at the moment, is there? We know that. I think it'll come down to whose day it is, Matt, which most races actually just come down to who's going to have their day. And I think that this could be Kind of Blue's day, finally. I mean, he was second in the race 2 years ago. He was second in the race last year. How he got beaten 2 years ago, I never know. Travel like the best horse in the race, probably got there a little bit too soon. And he always tends to run poorly first time up, but he was better this year when he was second behind M1 Jed in the Duke of York. And then he almost certainly found the ground too quick behind Almirac at Royal Ascot last time. They put him away with an autumn campaign in mind, no doubt starting with this race and then going on to the race that I hate how it's called, the British Champions, whatever, sprint nonsense. Should just be called the Diadem Stakes. Ed will remember that, you know, the Diadem Stakes. Forget British Champions, nonsense. Anyway, I'm sure Kind of Blue gone to that, but I think he'll win the Sprint Cup en route. But the one I must mention is Copple, who was one of my big bets when he won last time at Newbury. And he's got the profile of a horse that tends to win this race. Like, horses are going forward at the right time, and you've seen that in the past in this race. And Hector Crouch gave it a fantastic ride. Ed was just talking about Hector Crouch. He is one of the best jockeys around, I think, and he gave it a great ride that day. Sent it on nice and early and ploughed his own furrow up the far rail. I think Copple will run really well, but just dropping back to 6 slightly concerns me. So I think Kind of Blue might be too quick for him.
Kind of Blue for Graham Rodway, and trains James Fanshawe, being joined on the licence by his assistant and son Tom in the near future as well. Could be another final big winner in his own right for the team at Pegasus Stables. Ed, come to you. Obviously, another nice offer for Unibet in the big one of the day. But who do you think can take Group 1 honours on the day?
Yeah, another super boost race for Unibet customers. This is a race we used to sponsor. I loved it when the Tin Man won it in 2018. That was in similar ground conditions. So Sheen Murphy, I think, rode. I've got the number cloth somewhere. Lovely race, but you just don't know with the weather. That is the problem. And I think Copple won't run. I think they'll pull him out. He doesn't like soft ground. They've already pulled him out on good to soft. When he won at Goodwood in his two-year-old days, belted down with rain, and Clive Cox, in an interview afterwards, said if it had come 10 minutes earlier, he would have withdrawn the horse. So, to me, soft ground doesn't equate to Coppell running well. And he's the third favourite in. And obviously, I'm like Graham. I kind of tipped him up as my nap a couple of runs back, or a couple of weeks back, and I love the horse, but I don't think he'll run on soft ground. Horse that will run on whatever the ground is Almirac, who is the favourite. It's won on ground, every ground, from good to firm to soft. Disappointing last time, won at Ascot, winning the big race that we were talking about at Almirac, the QE2 Jubilee Stakes, at 25-1. But then disappointed in the July Cup, it must be said. Very disappointing. So you've got to forgive him that run, but I'm willing to forgive him that run. I think he is the best horse in the race. I respect Kind of Blue. Kind of Blue's got form on soft ground, got form at the course, must go well. But I just think Almirac is just a little bit better. I mean, the official handicapper, the BHA rating, puts him £7 above Kind of Blue. And I think he probably is the better horse. But this race is always a difficult race as a punter, because it comes at the time of the season when the ground does change and the form obviously goes from fast, good ground to soft ground. And that's why I'm going for Almirac, because he's got form on all sorts of ground and he is the best horse in the race. Just need to forgive him for his last run. And I'm willing to do that. Probably too short a price as well now for a big selection. But yeah, I think he's the most likely winner.
Ed going for Almirac to add another Group 1 over the 6 furlongs this season in Britain to his name. Over to you, Johnny, to take the floor. Only 9 runners, but still very, very open, isn't it?
Yeah, and these sprinters are sort of doing my head in a bit, because you never know which one's going to win or even place. They sort of just keep turning the form with each other. It's great from a betting point of view if you want to land on the right one, but it makes it a lot more difficult to try and find the winner. You know, it's not, you know, Hong Kong starts again this weekend, having had their sort of 6-week break, and Kai Ying Rising's running. That's an easy one to find the winner, but although you're not going to entertain a bet on it, it would be nice to have something where you get a bit more consistency than what we're seeing. And it makes it very tricky. A lot of them have got form on all sorts of ground, as Ed was saying, and it's, which one do I want to be with? I don't know. I've never been, that Big Mojo's obviously a good horse, but I've never been a huge fan of him for one reason or another. I think Marvel Man dropping back down to 6 furlongs should see improvement. The softer ground won't be any issue to him. I think he's a nice price, and I'll have a small bet on him, but this is not a race where I'm going to have much investment. It's only going to be a small bet, because I think Marvel Man will have a chance. I think 6 furlongs will suit, and it'll be a small bet on him, but I can't say I'm overly confident on any of these on any given day.
It seems like the recurring theme of the whole sprint division season in Britain. Of course, not in the Nunthorpe, because Baccio just blew everyone apart here. So it is Kind of Blue for Graham, and Almirac for Ed, and Marvelman for Andrew Baldwin team, and Bon Thoroughbred just down the road from me in Yorkshire for Johnny. I'm going to side with Graham again in this one, only narrowly though with Kind of Blue. I'm like Johnny, it's very tentative because it's so wide open, but I think the ground could come in his favour, and it seems like Wathnam Racing and James Doyle have long had him as their number one hope for this race when the weather turned as we go into the autumn. But you say keep an eye on the fields as well with the rain and the whatnot that could arrive. It could have ramifications on who is running or not. But that's the Group 1 Sprint Cup covered and dusted off at Haydock, as is the first 7 races from Ascot and Haydock. We'll be right back, so don't go anywhere, because we've got just the small matter of 2 races from Kempton and quite a big superstar who's won a lot of talking already this season, 4 on the flat to go. But we'll be right back after this.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m, either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions. Percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not. Overnight market moves. Eye catchers from our analysts, who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious Edge.
Yes, welcome back to the Racing Post podcast, brought to you by Racing Post and sponsored by Unibet. 2 more races to go on ITV, and they are from Kempton on their big flat race. Dear the Owen boy, what a race we've got coming up there to preview. But before that race, we will go on to the 220 at Kempton. It is the London Mile Series final handicap. We'll have another nice offer to bring you from Unibet for this race, but the market shapes up as follows: 7-2 Cavolo Nero, 6s Victory Ace, 13-2 Warrior Mode, Nicovo 8-1, 10s for 2 Tempting Supido, The Liffey and Exposure, quite a lot in an open field. 12-1 Percy's Lad, Popmaster 16s, as well as I'm Working On It. A deeply, deeply complex race, and on the all-weather for our aficionados of the sand surfing racing. Ed, we'll come to you first, because another lovely offer from Unibet in a deeply competitive contest.
Yeah, I think you'll need this offer, extra place. Probably need 5 extra places if you're having a bet. It's a really competitive, as you would expect for a final worth this sort of money, and any number of horses can win this race, and I think if you ran the race 20 times you'd have 18 different winners probably, but I'm going to go for a horse at big odds that I think's got a profile that means we'll get a good run for our money at a big price. Percy's Lad, who is drawn stall 2, which is a good stall draw for those that like to be near the front of the pace. Obviously you don't have to go past many horses to be near the rail, as you put your you know, as you go around the bends. He won here at Kempton 2 runs back off only a £3 lower mark. That was a return to form. He's around 14-16-1. I mean, there are any number of horses in with a chance, but at that sort of price, I think if the race is run to suit, which will probably be him able to dictate or just be able to be behind a slow pace, and he stacks them up, I could see him going off into the straight and just leading and winning. Even if he doesn't, I think it'll take a lot from a horse to come from behind if it's that kind of race. If it's a fast pace, then he might not be able to get the front, and you might be out with the washing with 3 furlongs to go. But I'm going to back him at 14-16-1. And the jockey, Ibrahim Nadir, you might not know who he is. He is the Bahrain champion jockey who I spoke to actually after he won on this horse, I think it was at Kempton. Lovely fella. He's only had 3 winners from just 28 rides in the UK. The Middlebrooks brought him over. Obviously Daniel and Claire Cooper now have a kind of training establishment in Bahrain. And he's a good jockey. I mean, he is a good jockey. He's a champion jockey of Bahrain, which sounds a bit of a joke, but it's not. He's a very good jockey. He won 47 races last year from 190 rides to win their Jockeys' Championship. He's had over 133 winners. So he'll know how to pace. And I'm just hoping that at a big price, Percy's Lad can reach the frame.
Percy's that lad there for Ed. For Daniel and Claire Cooper, of course, who have got a bigger training setup in Bahrain as well. And touching on Bahrain racing there, it's going from strength to strength as well. I've been out there for the International Trophy. And of course, that's Group 1 for the first time this year as well. So Percy's lad for Ed in the London Mile final. G-Rod, again, it's very, very complex. How are you cracking this puzzle?
No, I thought it was easy. Victory Ace. Is a improving 3-year-old, the only 3-year-old in the race. And John Butler, I think, is an underrated trainer with this type of horse. I've seen this horse win 3 or 4 in a row now, and last time out at Kempton, they obviously had to let the handbrake off a little bit because they needed to get it up the weight so they'd have a chance of getting in this final. It absolutely bolted up by 4 odd lengths, and it has been whacked up in the weights, £10, but John Butler is great with this type of horse. I think he's got loads more improvement to come, Matt, and I think that he'll make short work of these. I just think he's improving far too quickly for them.
Well, that's how you solve a completely complex puzzle like the London Mile, so brilliantly put by Graham Rodway there. Victory Ace for him in the handicap, and Ed Nicholson taking a good chance with Percy's Lad at a lovely price as well. We've got one more race to go, and some could say we've saved possibly the most talked about race till of the day, maybe even of some of the flat season till last. It is the William Hill September Stakes, 1 mile, 4 furlong, Group 3 at Kempton, their big flat race of the year, an illustrious roll of honour, including Enable, Calpana, Giovolotto. Could Constitution Hill feature on it? who knows, the soap star that lost his way over jumps, well, couldn't even jump anymore, could he? The brilliant champion hurdler of the past. We usually see him running in the Christmas hurdle on Boxing Day, but this time he's back to Kempton in the September Stakes, and he's got quite a tough task on his hands, even if his price has collapsed in the week. It's 11-8 favourite is Gethin for Owen Burrows, Callum Rodriguez and Wathnan Racing, last seen behind Constitution River in the Coral Eclipse in the summer. 134 Tornado Alert, a Group 1 winner in this contest. Pride of Arras, a dual group two winner at York in the Voltigeur and the Dancer Stakes from last year, 5-1. Of course, Constitution Hill before that, 9-2. Billy Lochnan on board for the first time. Warrant holder, 12-1 chance. 20s for Al Merrick. Dubai Future is a 33-1 chance. All the talk Johnny Pearson has been about Constitution Hill. There's no Bay City Roller, of course, that he's up against, with him going to the Prix Foix at Longchamp on Sunday. But can Constitution Hill really continue his rise through the flat ranks? It seems scarcely believable to me.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's the talking horse, but there's been an awful lot of talking about a horse who's not been running. And it's sort of, I get it, he's popular, the public know him, but I'd rather talk about the horses that are running, and he is running here, so we can talk about him and talk about him in a good light. He's been good on both the starts on the flat. He was good at Sutherland on his debut on the flat. He won well at Kempton last time when he was seen in March, but it was a race he should have been winning easily, and going off at a price of 1-7 just tells you that. I think he's got to improve, show a lot more than he has to be winning this, though, when you've got the likes of Tornado Alert, Group 1 winner in there. Gethin's obviously got good form with Ombudsman and has won at Kempton before over 10 quite comfortably, and he's a good horse. Pride of Arras, I think, is very interesting. First time on your weather, that form behind Item last time, starting to look pretty good with Item subsequently winning at York. He won the Judmont, didn't he? And I think Gethin probably is the best horse in the race and probably should win. I don't know how the market's going to move. At the current prices, I probably won't have the bet in the race. But if he drifts out to a bigger price, I might get tempted to back Gethin. I think Gethin should win. Whether he's a price I want to bet him or not, I'm not sure yet. But I think Gethin's the most likely winner.
Gethin for Johnny Pearson there. Obviously, a bit of Pride of Arras, if you worry about him as well. He was withdrawn from the Judmont International right beforehand because he got upset in the stall. So be aware of that if you are backing him. Ed, we'll come to you next. Obviously, Unibet of great affiliation with Nicky Henderson and the yard. And obviously, it's been great fun, and there's been some ups and downs with Constitution Hill. Do you think there's another legendary day in his quite roller coaster of a story?
Well, it will be a hell of a story, and I've been with Nicky over the summer at a couple of events, and they have wanted to run him. They have wanted to run him when there's been a bit of cut in the ground. They've been offered for him to run all around the country and abroad. They're very interested in going abroad with this horse, but he's 9 years old. He's taking on a lot of younger horses, and more importantly, every other horse in this race is what is rated kind of in line with what a Group 3 winner should be. 109, 110, 111. He's rated 101. Now, obviously, he's done that on two runs, and the handicapper can only handicap him, or the BHA official can only give him a rating on what he's done. But it would be a monumental... I mean, it really would be an incredible result if Constitution Hill could win this, given what we've seen so far. I mean, he's a nine-year-old taking on well-bred individuals who have already shown the form to establish good figures. I can't see it. I can't, on form, I just can't see it. And I would love it to happen. And they're going to get a bumper audience at Kempton. I've already been speaking to the guys at Kempton, and they're really looking forward to it. Wherever I've been the last week and a half, people have said they're going to Kempton to watch Constitution Hill. I really hope he gives them a good ride. I keep thinking, a good run for their money, sorry. I keep thinking of what David Egan said, which is when he won at Southall, he just said he's never had a horse go past him as quickly as Constitution Hill. And that's backed up with some stats. If you go to IQ, if you go to a lot of these kind of firms that produce speed figures, he does travel very... He travels quickly, so... Although he wins the races, he's putting in some quite interesting speed figures at various parts of the race. So he is obviously quick. Can he win at this level? I can't see it. I hope he does. I wish Nicky and Billy the best. But I'm hoping he does, But I can't. I can't. I think Gethin, beaten by Constitution River last time, can beat Constitution Hill this time. He's got the form in the book. Owen Burrows is in good form. I really rate Callum Rodriguez. I think he's a very good jockey. There are other horses in the race that do have chances. I saw someone put that if Constitution Hill finished within 10 lengths of the winner, he'd buy them a pint on Twitter. Well, I think that will happen, but I don't think he'll win. So Constitution Hill to run well, but not to win. And then they've got to work out where they're going to go next. And if he runs too close to these horses, you know, he's obviously going to have to be a group performer and running group races for the rest of his career. I'm interested in how he goes and where they go next. But I think this time Gethin will win.
Indeed. Yeah, just checking the Super Boost race as well.
Yeah, that's right. Super Boost for this race. Each horse boosted to the next price from 9 o'clock on Saturday.
Well, there you go. If you fancy Constitution Hill to do the unthinkable, nearly stumbled over our words then. If you fancy Constitution Hill to do the unthinkable, then you'll get that on the day. Graham Rodway, wrap it up for us. Yay or nay, Constitution Hill uphill, or do you think someone else, a higher class flat horse, is going to sort of not upset the bubble, but bringing everyone down to earth a little bit?
I don't think that there's anything that he should be scared of in this race, personally. I think that Gethin pulled really hard last time at Sandown over a mile and a quarter, and I would be seriously worried about him pulling over a mile and a half here. If he pulls hard at a mile and a half, he will not stay and he won't win. Pride of Arris was definitely flattered to get so close to Item at York. They went a very slow pace that day, and ultimately Pride of Arris was really well placed, and Item basically blew him away anyway. I mean, he wasn't that close, was it? I don't think he's a danger to Constitution Hill. Tornado Alert, Group 1 winner. Yeah, what was that? The Pre-Von Zeta something at Munich?
The Grosse Dallmayr Preis, Bayerisches Zuchtrennen. GCC German coming to the fore there.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, that well-known Group 1 that all the top-class horses contest. Yeah, so I don't think he'll be giving him a race. And I definitely think Constitution Hill can do it. He can definitely do it. He was the best of the. He would be by far the best of these over hurdles, wouldn't he? Stick a bunch of hurdles around Kempton, he'd win it easily, wouldn't he? All right, it's a flat race, but he's got loads of ability. He travels like a machine. He's still open to improvement on a flat. He goes on the all weather. He's got course form. He's totally unexposed to the flat, so we don't know how good he is. I definitely think he can win Constitution Hill. If Gethin stays, Gethin will probably beat him. But at the odds, Gethin is, what, 6-4, and Constitution Hill is 5-1 or something? Yeah. Give me some of that.
Graham Rodway with Constitution Hill to bring the house and probably the sport down as well if he was to win the September Stakes. And two votes against him with Johnny and Ed for Gethin. Ironically, Graham talked about Tornado Alert giving him no chance. I think he's got quite a good chance. Obviously, he's a Group 1 winner. I think those German Group 1s can be slightly underrated as well. As he was close to Tiffany on his last start, who has gone out and she's become a Group 1 winner. And even though that probably isn't the best form in the race, I do think it would be quite just enough to win it, especially with, the reservations around Gethin and his tendency at this trip. That's all of the races covered, but stay there because we've got our best bets to come still just right after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Yes, welcome back. All the races on ITV, the 9 races all covered by our excellent pundits today. So all that's left to decide is our best bets from them. We'll start with you, Ed. Who are we going with as your best bet of the day?
Yeah, the 125 at Haydock could be very soft ground there. And we're recording this on Thursday. But if it was soft, I think you've got to look for a soft ground horse. The Lost King won on good to soft last time, showing the form of his life. He's going from a handicap to a Group 3, but that is a stepping stone that many horses have done this year, and I expect the Lost King to go very well at a fair price in the opening race at Haydock.
The Lost King, 125 at Haydock, the Superior Mile for Ed. Johnny Pearson, who is your best bet of the day?
My best bet of the day is going to be in the 155 at Haydock. We're hoping the two-year-olds can do it for us again this week. And Rocket Boy is going to get us off to an absolutely flying start on the day.
Rocket Boy at Haydock. I believe it's the one... It's definitely at Haydock, the Ascendant Stakes that Bo Echo won last year. And Graham Rodway, wrap us all off. Who is your best bet of Saturday?
It's 140 at Ascot, Matt. It is two tribes to win the Shreps.
Very good. Thank you very much, all three. And if you missed them, here they are on your screen now. Ed's won the 125 at Haydock, the Lost King for Johnny Pearson, the 155 at Haydock, Rocket Boy, and Graham Rodway in the 140 at Ascot. It's two tribes. My best bet of the weekend comes in the big one, the Sprint Cup, the 340 at Haydock. I am with Kind of Blue to finally get his head in front in Haydock's feature. Thank you very much to my panellists this week, Johnny Pearson, Unibet's Ed Nicholson and Graham Rodway. That's all we have time for this weekend, but do remember to subscribe to the Racing Post YouTube channel. Some brilliant content, obviously, from last week's National Racehorse Week, the Racing Postcast every Thursday at 7 p.m. and plenty more to come, especially next week when we return this time next week. We've just got the small matter of St. Ledger Day at Doncaster, the final classic of the flat season in Britain. And to add alongside that, of course, as well, in a stunning weekend, is Irish Champions Festival from Leopardstown on the Curragh next weekend as well. And plenty of stuff will be happening around that as well. But for now, remember, of course, to gamble responsibly this weekend. Enjoy the racing and make sure you join us next week at 7 p.m. for another Racing Postcast brought to you by the Racing Post and sponsored by Unibet. Thank you very much and see you next time.